All right, amen. Open your Bibles for a moment to Ephesians. I want to read you a verse. Preacher preached out of here the other day, and then I'm going to try to eventually get to what I'm going to give you tonight. Ephesians 4. Preacher read this and preached it about it, mentioned it, and I'll get to what I'm going to preach here in a second. But it says this in verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets, preacher mentioned them, prophets, talking about them. I was wondering, you know, they call people missionary evangelists. I was wondering if there's anything called a prophet evangelist. But that was a joke, amen. But anyways, it says, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here it is, verse 12, when you say, see, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. I believe that's my job. I'm not the pastor, amen, never would try to usurp authority over the pastor. I believe in pastoral leadership, and amen, call it what you want to call it, but I believe that the preacher is in charge, and I follow the man of God and stand with him, and I always will, unless it's something immorally wicked wrong. But I thank God for our preacher, and I know that our preacher preaches. I'm glad he's not afraid to preach, amen. I'm glad that he's not afraid to stand for righteousness and preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. I've been in enough places where they're scared to mention anything, amen, on certain issues, and they skirt around it all the time. And I think that's a sin against God. I really do. And I feel bad for the people that are in those places that don't have a man of God that will tell them the truth, amen. Isn't it a shame that people don't have the right or the privilege to be able to make a decision after they've already heard what the Bible says? Some preachers just won't say it. But I'm glad that our preacher does, and I'm thankful for that. And so I preach something tonight, not because he doesn't preach it, and I'm also going to preach something tonight, more or less. I'm going to more or less do a little Bible study tonight, not because I got a bone to pick or I'm mad at somebody, because I'm not mad at anybody, and don't have a bone to pick. But when the Holy Ghost tells you to do something, you better mind, amen? And I'll be glad when this day is over. I'll say that right now, because the devil's been fighting me all day long. You'll understand why here in a minute. Look at 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Oh, happy day. There's two things people hate you to say anything about. And that's modesty and money. Y'all know I'm telling the truth now. Amen. Don't start getting nervous on me already. We only mentioned two words that people don't like. Some of y'all already get nervous. Amen. But I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not upset with nobody. But I do want to give you something in the Bible. And of course, I do have opinions. Everybody does. And most people say they're like armpits. Both of them stink. Amen. But I'll try to give you something. We're going to look at 1 Timothy 2, then go to Titus 2. So if you can hold those places. And we find here that Paul is charging Timothy to make sure some things take place. The Apostle Paul gives us direction, gives us instruction. And so I would say, if you don't agree with some things, it might be good for you to take notes, go home, look at the Scripture, and compare them with more Scripture. Amen? And if you don't agree with me, don't get mad at me, get mad at God. He's the one that said it. I didn't say it. Amen? And y'all stay with me now, especially those of you that believe, amen, and are strong, maybe in the meat. And y'all help me. But look here. 1 Timothy. Let's look at some Bible. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 7. And we're all friends, right? Amen. I'm sorry for those of you that are visiting. You'll get to hear a preacher. Come back. Amen. He'll be preaching, I'm sure, Sunday. But 1 Timothy 2, verse 7 says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. He said, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He said in verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So the Bible teaches us to be holy, amen, especially us fellas. And then he said in verse 9, in like manner. So in other words, just like the men are to be holy, women ought to be also. He said in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So let's look over there at Titus. You can hold your place in 1 Timothy if you'd like. Just a few pages over. Titus chapter number 2. Let's look at verse number 1. Read down through there. Chapter 2, verse 1. Bible says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. You hear that, honey? Teach them how to love people. Amen. Now, you ain't paying attention. Let me read it again. Watch your Bible. It says to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, can I say to you, dear friend, tonight, that I just read to you the Scripture. That's your Bible. Amen? Now, don't get mad at me. I can feel the vibes already. I'm not anybody's enemy. Amen? You say, how do you know you can feel them? Because I'm married to somebody, and I feel them all the time. So I know exactly how it feels. But let me help you if I can. Let me just give you the Scripture. And the Bible teaches us much different things. And a lot of people want to go straight to Deuteronomy whenever they talk about modesty. And I agree with Deuteronomy. You may not, but I do. I believe we ought to live by the law. And maybe you say, well, we don't live by law, but we'll get into that in a little while. But can I say we don't live by the dietary law, but we still should live by the law. Amen? So the modesty, the definition is, in females, modesty has the like character as in males. A lot of times people think, well, modesty is only for women. Wrong. Hey, fellas, it's just as important for you and I to be modest as it is for a lady. Amen. Now, but the word, it says also, so modesty is in like character as in males, but the word is used also as synonymous with chastity or purity of manners. In this sense, modesty results from purity of mind or from the fear of disgrace and ignominy. Ignominy being public shame or being very shameful, fortified by education and principle. So in other words, modesty is unaffected. Modesty is the sweetest charm of female excellence. It is the richest gem in the diadem of their honor. That word diadem means this. That is a headband for a king that he wore as a badge of honor and royalty. So in other words, God's saying this, or the definition, I'm sorry, the definition is saying this, that modesty is a sweet charm and a female's excellence is the richest gem, amen, most important in the diadem of their honor. In other words, modesty is this, not bold or forward, not loose, not lewd. Lewd means given to unlawful indulgences of lust or wicked and lustful things. And I'll say to you, friend, there's two places in time that stole America's modesty, or you could say, undressed America. The feminist movement, battle between the sexes. That's number one. Number two, swimwear manufacturer. They undressed America. You look at the old pictures, dear friend, of old America, and you'll find that the ladies were immaculate in their dress and very prominent, if you would, and very clean and very full and ladylike. And you look at the men, and they were sharp and clean and looked like men and carried themselves like men. Then all of a sudden, here come the feminist movement. Then here come the swimwear manufacturer. And friend, they begin to undress, and it's just gotten worse since then. And we live in a world today of sex appeal and extreme lust. In other words, people dress in a way to look sexy. Today, the women and the men go as far as they can to reveal as much of their body and show as much nakedness as they can and that they can get away with. Y'all know I'm telling the truth now. And it's getting worse every single day. And somebody has to say something. Not only can you not go to the store, the post office, or even walk down the street without seeing nakedness today, it's sad. You can't even hardly go to most average Baptist churches without seeing it also. And I want to say to you, dear friend, I'm not mad at nobody, but let me give this to you. It is a sin against God. And it is grieving the Holy Ghost of God in our churches. Why is it that it seems... Do you ever wonder, do you ever think, why does it seem like the Spirit of God brings conviction in our services today? Now, you may not notice it as much as some may notice it, as maybe a preacher or somebody. I travel, so I get in a lot of different churches, preacher himself, Brother Jim, and some of these other men. But there's very little conviction in many of our churches today, dear friend. And I can say it's because I believe there's so much that is grieving the Holy Ghost of God. But I ask the question, why? As a male or a female, would anybody want to disgrace themselves or be impure or show people how wicked they really are. Men today, they think this: if I don't have the muscles and the tan, if I don't show off my chest and wear tight clothing and show off my body, then I won't be accepted to the world, and nobody will pay attention to me. Women today think, if I don't get the tan, wear the tight shirts, reveal my chest, my belly, wear the tight pants or the tight skirts or the hip huggers or the mini skirts, nobody will like me. And I don't want to look like some kind of frumpy person, and I want to fit in. And let me say to you, number one, who cares if the world, anybody accepts us? The Bible teaches us, friend, that if we guard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. If we dress that way, God will not accept us. I was shocked, I remember. It's been a while now because so many people do it. But I was shocked when women in the world started showing off the straps of their undergarments. And now it's like in the church. They used to wear clothing on top of clothing to cover up clothing that's underneath that clothing. And today they don't care. There's many people today that will go to church and thank the Lord. They will honor what the man of God has asked. And hey, dress right when you come to the house of God. And we should. How come it's different when we leave? In the Christian realm today, the deacons, their wives, the Sunday school teachers, the officers of the church, many will come to the church with a pious Christian attitude, making everyone think that they're holy. And then when they leave, they look and dress just like the world. And I say to you, dear friend, I just believe that that is maybe hypocritical. I believe it's wrong. Modesty, why is it so hard for so many people? Why is it such a big question? Why is it such a big deal? Questions on modesty. There have always been people in this world that have dressed immodestly. Here's why. It's easier for them to go in the direction of their sinful nature. Many young people and adults think today, since everyone else is doing it, well, that must be okay. Friend, that is contradictory to God's Word, because the Bible said, Matthew 7:13, said, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And the liberal crowd will say, "Well, God knows my heart. It's not important what kind of clothes I wear." Let me say to you, dear friend, God does know your heart. And everybody else does too, by the way or the clothing that one puts on. Jeremiah 17:9 said, "The heart is deceitful." Hey, your heart will put you in the wrong direction. Your heart will tell you the wrong thing. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My heart is vile. It's ungodly. It's wicked. If I did what my heart wanted to do, you wouldn't want me around here. So number one, what is modesty? Everybody's got their own definition. I like God's definitions. Some of y'all look like you could kill me. Come on now. Good night. I'm not being mean. I'm being nice. I'm just giving it to you. Let me say this. What is modesty? Let me first say, if you dress to appeal to the opposite sex in a sex appeal way, you're dressing for the wrong reason. So let's look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 2:9. The Bible said, "In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold or pearls or costly array." And over there in Titus chapter number 2. Verse number 5, it uses the word, when we'll go there, uses the word to be discreet and chaste. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, when I go there, the Bible said man is created in the image of God. All right, so let's look at the definitions so that we'll know what modesty is. Amen? Y'all agree with me? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so if God says it, then that must be the way it ought to be, right? You would agree, right? Some of y'all don't want to say amen. If God says it in this Bible, then we as Christians should do it, right? People hate truth, man. Come on, help me. The definitions. Well, the Bible said over there in Timothy, it says, for a woman to adorn herself. What does that mean? Well, if you look up the definition, it means to make pleasing or pleasant. To beautify. To add to the beauty of. Doesn't it amaze you how people come in public? Walmart's a perfect illustration. I don't have to say any more, do I? pajamas. Some of them women look like somebody turned them upside down, used their head for a mop before they came to the store. It's awful. The Bible says for a woman to adorn herself. Let me say to you something, ladies. It's just as much wrong, I believe, to look sloppy and nasty and pitiful as it is to go out there looking sexy. The Bible says that you are to adorn yourself. There is nothing wrong with looking good. Beautify. Amen? One guy said the bar needs paint and painting. I didn't say that. Somebody else said it. I wouldn't be that mean. Amen? But I don't believe an individual should be sexy or sloppy. The Bible says there plainly, it says for a woman to adorn herself. So that's what it means. Real simple. So what is modesty? Well, first of all, hey man, look good. Do yourself some favor. Do everybody else a favor. And try your best to add to the beauty of it. Amen? Then he said down there, use the word with shamefacedness. Now look, man, this is an important word. Ladies, this is an important word. It means this. It means bashfulness. That word, listen, shamefacedness means excess of modesty. Now that right there blows out a lot of things the way people dress today. Said bashfulness, excess of modesty. Bashfulness means this. It means very modest. Not borderline. Hey, hear me now. There's no such thing as borderline modesty. That's an oxymoron. No such thing. There's borderline nakedness. But there ain't no such thing as borderline modesty. Either you are or you ain't. Now, what's bashful about today's dress styles? Maybe the correct word would be sex appeal or vogue. But the Bible teaches us that we ought to be an excess in modesty. So, in other words, go overboard. Amen? Then he uses the word sobriety. That means habitual soberness, habitual freedom from enthusiasm, inordinate passion or overheated imagination, calmness, controlling all passions and desires that might cause a temptation to be immodest. That's what the Bible teaches, amen? Then it says in Titus for a woman to be discreet. That word discreet means prudent. It means wise in avoiding errors or evil. You see these things on the news talking about these people in Hollywood. God help their wicked soul. But you hear about these things talking about they had a garment malfunction or something like that. God help us. How are you going to have a malfunction in your clothing if you're dressed modestly? That's why the Bible says prudent, wise. It teaches to be discreet. Prudent, wise, avoiding errors or evil. To be sober-minded, self-controlled, or temperate. In other words, you are to be cautious. Not loose and revealing. In other words, pay attention to what you're putting on, amen? And how you're wearing it. And then it says chaste. That means to be modest and pure from carnality. Pure from all sexual commerce. In other words, it's an awful way to say it, but it's not for sale. Amen? Keep your property to yourself. It's not to be seen. It's not to be handled. It's not to be touched by anybody else. It's not to be even known what you have. There used to be a world of imagination. There is no imagination today. You already know everything. You just look. There it is. You don't even have to want to. There it is. Then it says, the Bible teaches us an image, the word image. Fellas, that is a representation. That is the likeness, resemblance, or to look like. The Bible plainly teaches modesty for a woman and a man. The individual is to be pleasant, beautiful, bashful, not having overheated imaginations. They are to control all passion and desires in their dress styles, wise in avoiding errors, cautious in how they are seen in public. They are also to be pure from carnality and sexual commerce, meaning sexual things or sex. And fellas, it's easy to look as much like the image of God as you possibly can. So let me put it in terms where we can easily understand it. Amen? Here we go. The Bible plainly teaches that a woman and a man are to be as holy as they possibly can be in their outward appearance. Would you agree? A woman should look as beautiful as she can, not sloppy. A woman should be very bashful in the way she dresses and carries herself around, making sure that none of the secret areas are not being revealed in any way, shape, or form. We do understand secret areas, don't we? Sure we do, hopefully. A woman should be calm, controlling her desires to look good for the opposite sex by not allowing certain secret parts of her body to be revealed. A woman should be wise enough to ask herself the question, is this too low? Is this too tight? Is this too short? Is this showing the curves of my body that should not be seen? And is this clothing pleasing to God? A woman is to be pure from carnal dress that she may be pure from sexual actions and carnal lifestyle. Fellas, it's very simply to understand, you are to try your best to be the very image of God. God expects you to be as holy as you possibly can. And may I say to you, your shirt off in public is not holy. Your tight t-shirt is not holy. Your tight bullfighting breeches is not holy. Your pants hanging off your backside definitely is not holy. And trying to show off your body in any way, shape, or form is not holy. The shorts that do not cover the nakedness of the thigh, according to the Bible, is nakedness and it's not holy. And it's not being the image of God. Who said that? The big question is asked, what is modesty? Let me give you a little example of what modesty I believe is, and it's just a little simple picture in your mind. If I took a woman and I put one here, and I took another woman and I put her here, and this woman over here, she has long flowing dress on, long flowing skirt, whatever you want. Nice, loose, beautiful blouse or dress or whatever she's got. Her hair's done nicely, whether it's long or maybe mid of her back, whatever it is. She's beautified herself. She's got maybe some earrings on. Hair's done. Just beautiful. Then over here on this side, we've got a girl either in a miniskirt or a pair of tight blue jeans. You know, just t-shirt maybe. Everything's snuggy-huggy. Everything's tight. You know what I mean? Everything, she's just there. You walked in the door. I said, which one's modest? Would you have a problem telling me? You say, that's simple. I know. Why is everybody making such a big deal? Two individuals by the name, listen to me now, two individuals by the name of Kidwell and Steele, in one of their books, here's what they said. It said, clothes are especially sexy when they call attention to the naked body underneath. There's a book I read titled this. You can look it up if you want. It's called The Public Undressing of America. It said this. The fashion industry does not believe that the principal purpose of clothing is to cover the body. Really? That's a new one on me. Because I think God made some clothing to cover. So they're wrong and God's right. Amen? Here's what they said they believe. They believe that the principal purpose for clothing is sexual attraction. That is the very opposite of Christian modesty. Now, if I'm boring you, I'm sorry. But if you're modest, your clothing will not say sex, pride, money. But it'll say purity, humility, and holiness. There's another statement out of the book I read. It said this, Christian modesty is the inner self-government rooted in a proper understanding of oneself before God, which outwardly displays itself in humility and purity from a genuine love. Here it is, from a genuine love for Jesus Christ, rather than self-glorification or self-advertisement. Christian modesty then will not publicly expose itself in sinful nakedness. And I say to you, let me boil it all down and say this, I dress for God, not you. And you should do the same. So we know what is modesty. The definitions are there. If you don't want to listen to what God said, that's between you and the Lord. Amen. We love you anyway. Praise God. But number two, why be modest? What's the big deal? I mean, many will say, what's the big deal, preacher? Why can't I just wear what I want to wear? Why does everybody got to make a big deal out of it? For a person that is lost, that's normal. Now, y'all don't get mad at me, please. Good night. You don't have to hang your head. I'm not your enemy. But for a person that's lost, that's a normal question. But that's not normal for somebody that's saved. First reason for being modest. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Here's what he said. What? Question mark. Paul's surprised. What? Know you not? In other words, don't you know? You should know. He said, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Now, if we stop, we won't do it. But if we stopped and studied the temple and how holy and how clean it was and how everything had to be perfect. And God said, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own. Well, that's against humanity. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the first good reason for being modest is this. We belong to God. If you are saved, you are His blood-bought property and you belong to Him. And if you are saved and you continue to dress in the immodest way of the world and say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I'll wear what I want to wear. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So you know what God says? People says this, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I ain't doing it. God says that's rebellion. And that's you're just as bad as a witch and idolater. Now, is that not what the Bible just said? Well, I don't agree with you. Well, then you don't agree with God, because that's what the Bible says. The lost care nothing about pleasing God and their body. It's all about what they think. It's all about what they want. And all they care to do is dress in a sexual fashion look. Now listen, they show off their stomachs, their thighs, their rear ends, their breasts, other secret parts with tight-fitting clothing. And it is destroying America. And it is destroying our churches. Listen, this is not a social club that we come to right here. And it's a place to worship God. Amen. It's a place to hear from God. It's a place to meet God. How in the world are we going to live ungodly and unholy and live in a lustful manner out there in the world, then go throw something on that looks halfway decent and come in there in the house of God and supposedly worship God? It don't work, dear friend. 2 Corinthians 6:15 says, and what concord? In other words, what agreement? We don't agree with the world. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Christians have no excuse to look like the world. You hear me? Amen? Amen? We should not agree with the world. I'm trying my best to be just as kind as I can be. But let me say something to you, dear ladies. You'll go to a girl, or you'll see a girl wearing something. Oh, that's cute. And I go, that's wicked. I mean, it's a little bitty flowing thing. The wind blows too far or too far north. What's going to happen? And you know, I got to get me one of those. Really? Not a Christian. We don't agree with the world. 2 Peter 2:9, but ye, do you not want to be saved? Oh, you're not glad you're saved? The Bible said, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, dear friend, the world, they ought to, would you agree that the world ought to be able to look at us and tell we're different? Hey, anybody, fellas. I can go throw on some of them little shorties, amen, and put me a little white beater shirt on, a little tank top on, and I can go around and try to show off a little pebble, amen, and I can go out there and try to look all sexy and nice, and I can do all that too, but it don't please God. It did not say in the Word of God that you are a sexy people, show forth the body. It said you are peculiar people. You say, I look frumpy. Well, you're peculiar. And by the way, you don't look frumpy, amen. You look like a lady. And you should show forth the praises of Him. Second reason for being modest. Not only do you belong to God, you're a testimony for God. 2 Corinthians 3:2 said, ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Can I say to you, the world is watching. You may not think they are, but they are. Why is it there's such a dry dearth in the land of revival and the gospel being spread and souls being saved? And let me say to you, dear friend, some will say, well, because of the sin in our land amongst the people. Wrong. Some will say, well, because of them wicked politicians. Well, they're wicked, but that's not why. They're wrong. I mean, that's not why the gospel is not being spread. Some would say because sin is in the lives of the believers. Right. Listen to me, dear church. It all falls on us. The world does not see Jesus in most saved people because they dress just like the world. The Christians should want to be a testimony, keep the commandments of God because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, dear friend. John 14, 21, 24 said this, "He that hath my commandments," and you do, you and I both do, "he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that," what? "Loveth me. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my commandments." The reason that people have a problem with modesty, now don't get mad at me, please, is they love their self more than they love God. "I don't agree, preacher." No, you do. You care more about how you look and how you feel than you do in pleasing the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to be rude or mean. That's a fact. Many today want to call themselves Christians, yet they don't even look like one. "Sir, what kind of testimony for Christ are you?" "Ma'am, what kind of testimony for Christ are you?" Do they look at you and think lustful thoughts? Well, that's their fault. No, it ain't. They shouldn't do that. It could be what you're wearing. Do they look at you and think, "There goes a Christian"? Okay. I'll use another illustration. For some of y'all that are mad at me, I can feel it. I know you are. You say, "I used to like you, Brother Jason." I know. It happens everywhere I go. But anyways, those of you that don't agree with me, I love you anyway. You don't agree with me. When you're at the store, you see a lady walking through the store and she's got a long, beautiful dress on or a long skirt. She looks like a lady. You know what you probably think? You probably think the same thing I think. There goes a Christian. But there could be a lady walking through a store that's saved and on her way to heaven. She's wearing breeches or a short skirt or some tight shirt. I'm not going to know she's a Christian. I'm not going to look at her and go, "There goes a Christian." And you know I'm telling the truth. And the Bible says down there, it says, friend, that it teaches us that whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. When somebody is flattering their figure, they are not glorifying God. They're glorifying self. There's a quote from a book I read about modesty. It says this. I didn't say it. The book said it. It said, "Playing up your assets and flattering your figure is more suited to a pornographic society than the society of God's children." We live in those days. The world's gods are their fashions, and the Christian should not have the standard of the world in their fashion. After World War I, a social revolution was born in the college campuses of America. The youth rebels piled into the first mass-produced autos and literally drove away from the confines of chaperone social life. Listen to this now. Their main symbol was the flapper, sad to be. Some of y'all remember that. Her stockings rolled down and a long cigarette holder in her hand. Her hair was bobbed. Her cheeks were rouged. And then she shed the clothing that the nice girl had always worn. And listen to this. When the skirts and the hemlines first began their climb in 1920, press, believe it or not, press and pulpit alike warned of the consequences. There's only one time that I know of that I agree with the New York Times. The most wicked bunch in the world that gives us the news. But the New York Times in 1920, here's what they said. The New York Times called 9 inches off the floor far beyond any modest limitation. 9 inches. I don't even know where. Is that 9 inches? Middle of the shin? 1920. New York Times. Y'all are mad at me for telling you news. I can feel it. Some local governments even talked of legislating skirt length. This is America. This is how far the church has come. The Journal of Commerce announced that the amount of cloth, listen ladies, the amount of cloth needed to make a woman's dress had decreased from 19 yards to 7 within 5 years. How much does it take to make something now? Yard? Yard and a half? I'm serious. And we wear it and they call it modest. The silhouette the American women increasingly adopted was lean, boyish, and knee length. According to the Law Office magazine, since the miniskirt was introduced by London designer Mary Quant, who is a vile woman, in 1964, they said incidents of rape had increased from 68%, increased by 68% in the United States and 90% in England, and the rise of miniskirts had caused a corresponding rise in rape and incident assault cases. And today, it has caused a rise in all kinds of fornication and adultery and ungodliness and divorces. And can I say, if we Christians, dear friend, will just realize that what we call modest today was very much immodest years ago. Maybe we should look at it. Maybe we should sit down. Maybe we should get alone with God and say, man, is this right? Is this modest? Should I wear this? Third reason for being modest, you should keep the laws of God. Bible says in Psalm 1:2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. Are you listening? For those that don't think we should pay attention to the law. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Psalm 19:7 said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God made a law for the way men dress and the way women are to dress. And in His law has not changed. You'd agree. So let me read the most hated verse in the churches today. Deuteronomy 22:5. The Bible said, the women shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man. Got plenty of these so-called men. They ain't men of my eyes. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now listen, church. I'm just giving you a Bible. You know what my wife told me? She didn't know this. She wasn't raised this way. She learned it. She learned it from Dr. Don Green's granddaughter in college. You know what she told me? I wish somebody would have told me. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which is a fence on the man, neither shall a man put on that woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now you say, well, I just don't agree, preacher. Listen, it is an abomination whether you agree or not. I'm not trying to be mean, but abomination is something hated by God. It is an object of disgust or detestable. In other words, extreme hating. God can't stand it. It makes Him sick. Now down through the centuries, women always wore dresses. I'm going to say some things here that some of y'all probably ain't going to agree with, but don't get mad at me, praise God. Just pray about it. Down through the centuries, women always wore dresses, even during the most wicked times of the world. They wore dresses during the medieval times and also the Dark Ages. But when the 1930s rolled around, they wanted to look like a man. So they put on their breeches. April 26, 1983. Y'all don't get mad at me. If I think you're mad at me, I'm going to come to you. Give you a big old fat kiss on your cheek or something. Amen. April 26, 1983, the morning press wrote this. Here's what they wrote. Feeling like a woman, looking like a man. Some would say, well, that's Old Testament, preacher. That Old Testament scripture, that's 22:5, that's under the law. Well, let me tell you some other things that God says is an abomination. That's under the law. Leviticus 18:22, homosexuality. Do you think that's still an abomination? Deuteronomy 7:25, idolatry. That's an abomination. That's under the law. Deuteronomy 12:31, human sacrifices. That's an abomination. Deuteronomy 18:10-12, witchcraft. Those are all abominations, and guess what? They're all in Deuteronomy. And so is Deuteronomy 22:5. You just say, well, I don't believe that law, but I like that law. I'm going to live by that law, but I'm not going to live by that law. God has not changed His mind on homosexuality. He hasn't changed His mind on idolatry, human sacrifices, witchcraft, and He's not changed His mind on how we ought to dress. You say, well, the church might have, and the world might have, and some preachers might have, but God never changed. And the women today that are saved, listen to me, don't get mad at me. I don't think less of you. Please don't think that. I see you in Walmart, maybe. Don't worry about that. I see your friends, still love you. But the women today that are saved who wear breeches and other clothing that pertain to men are not pleasing the Lord in the manner of dress. Listen. It is an abomination of the Lord, whether you agree with me or not. Not your enemy, but that's the Bible. And according to Deuteronomy 22:5, there's clothing that pertains to a man, and if pants are not men's clothing, will somebody please tell me what is so that I can wear it? There's a quote from a book, Feminist Modesty. I read it. Let me read this to you. Everyone knows the garment that pertains to a woman is a dress. Anybody would disagree? If you do, you got problems. No Christian man would ever put on a dress. Amen? This one ain't anyways. He knows that a dress is not man's clothing. So when a Christian man rises in the morning, he doesn't run over there to his wife's thing and pull out size whatever and say, I think I'll wear this today. Don't work that way. When that Christian man gets up in the morning, you know what he does? Puts on a pair of pants. Because he knows pants pertain to a man. It's not difficult to understand. He just refused to accept it. Now, there's a story I want to read you that comes from a book, What in the World Should I Wear? It was, ladies, it was written by Miss Kathy Coral. So she's on your side. She ain't on my side. But Miss Kathy Coral wrote this in her book. Here's what it says. A friend of mine told me that her decision to restrict her wardrobe to dresses and skirts came as a result of a ladies' class. All the arguments and reasons that could be given were unheeded until the lady who had been speaking said, let me just demonstrate something to you. She asked the ladies in the audience to close their eyes momentarily. She held up a large picture of a woman in an attractive, modest, feminine skirt and a blouse. She asked the ladies to open their eyes. Then she inquired, what is the primary focal point of this picture? Where did your eyes first fall naturally? The audience agreed. These are all ladies. Their eyes were first drawn to the face of the woman in the picture. She once again asked the ladies to close their eyes. When they opened their eyes, they were looking at a large poster of a woman in a sports shirt and blue jeans. And she asked, now be honest, ladies, with yourselves, and tell me where your eyes first fell naturally when you looked at this picture. Many of the ladies in the crowd, not men, ladies, were surprised to find that most people's eyes first focused upon the hips and the crotch area that were so vividly emphasized before they ever noticed the woman's face. Now, if this happened in a crowd of ladies, how much more does it happen in a crowd of men? Why in the world, as a Christian, would you ever want to dress that way? You say, well, I don't look that good. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. One may think it looks good, and one may think it don't. The apparel today that is designed to draw the eye to the secret areas of the body cannot fill the requirements of biblical decency. Secret parts, this is something good for you to write down and think about it later. Secret parts that are seen in form are no longer secret. Let me say that again in case you're writing. Secret parts that are seen in form are no longer secret. Listen, form is this. In case you don't know what that means, something that takes the shape of something else. This is so simple. There's a statement out of a book that said this. Remember this, ladies. Teenage girls, this is good for you to know. You are candles amongst gunpowder. You ignite that fuse in him, something bad is going to happen. Why be modest? You belong to God. You're a testimony for God. You should keep the laws of God. So what is modesty? Why be modest? And I know I'm going longer than I should. Number 3, real quick, and I'll be done. What if I'm not modest? Matthew 5:27-28. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now the woman or man that is dressed immodest will be a stumbling block to the opposite sex and will be the cause of them being found guilty of sin. And some may say, well, they shouldn't think that way. They're just a pervert. They shouldn't do that. No, you shouldn't dress that way. Amen. Proverbs 7:10 said, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Someone would ask, well, what is the attire of a harlot? Anything that lures a man. You fill in the blank. The problem of not being modest is this, church. Adultery. You say, well, I'm not going to commit adultery. Oh, but you're probably causing somebody else to. Fornication, lust, divorce. Why would anybody want to fall in that category? Our homes are wrecked, our lives are wrecked, all because of immodesty. When people are not modest, it destroys the morals in the country. It destroys the sanctity of marriage. It destroys the relationship in the home. It destroys the lives of young people and adults. It destroys the working of the Spirit of God in the church. Sir, you wouldn't want a man at work to show off his body to your wife. And dear ma'am, you wouldn't want some woman at work to show her body off to your husband. But it's happening. Why would you as an individual want to be a part of something that is destroying people's lives? Men and women, especially women, and I don't mean that in a bad way or a derogatory way. But many, many men and women, especially women, are very extremely bold in showing off the secret parts of their body that should never be the case in a Christian's life. You know, I'm kind of confused. Maybe you can help me. I'm not trying to be mean or ridiculous or whatever. But it seems opposite today. Men, we got to come to church. Got to wear one of these old stupid ties. Got to wear a sleeve all the way down here. Got to be white or blue or something. Maybe some white, something. Got to put on this cotton-picking monkey suit. Got it up to here. Down to here. All the way down to here. You think it's uncomfortable? I hate it. You tell me. Seems backwards. How come a woman can cut it off here, cut it off here, cut it off here? Something's wrong. Remember bashfulness? Remember excessive modesty? Today they want to show everything. They want a woman to reveal. Don't you see, ladies, that they're trying their best to uncover you? They want a woman to reveal as much skin as she possibly can. And then the man has to go here and here and all the way down. Something's wrong. I told my daughter, I said, I think maybe I ain't going to say that. Forget it. I ain't saying it. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I'm done. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Are y'all with me? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't look like them. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Many today in our churches need to go home and throw a lot out. Anything questionable. Remember, excessive modesty. Let me say this, daddy, husbands, are y'all listening to me? Man of the home, are y'all hearing me? It's your responsibility to make sure that your family is pleasing God in the area of modesty. Mothers and wives and children, you better follow Him. Look, if there's something them girls over there ain't supposed to wear, trust me, it don't last long. I ain't being mean about it, but I'll tell them. That ain't right. They'll come to me naturally now. Thank the Lord for it. Daddy, is this okay? I don't know. I worry about this and this. And they'll get rid of it. They'll take it back. I like that. God likes it. It pleases God. Shame on the Christian that knows the truth and continues to dress in the styles of the world and rebels against Bible teaching. Grace, I want you to go to the piano tonight. I want to have Grace. No offense to anybody else, but I want Grace to go play. She's used to playing for me. James 4:17 says this: to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, very, 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 very kindly, cautiously, I can maybe even use the word, I don't know if I use the word timidly, I tried my best to give you what the Bible teaches us. And if you know what's right and you don't do it, God says that's a sin. And in the world, we live to die. That's what the world says. Live to die. But in the spiritual world, we die to live. You have to die to your flesh. You have to die to yourself. You have to die to ungodly desires. Self wants to look like everybody else. Self wants to be accepted. Self don't want to be different. All depends on if you want to please God or not. I would go back and look at these scriptures if I was you. I'd pray about it. And I'd say, God, is Brother Jason just stupid? Or is this Bible? I don't know how you can argue with it. Don't come argue with me about it, because I like you and I don't want to be mean. But ask God, do you have a desire to please the Lord? I don't know about you, but I want my family and home to be as holy as possible. And there's enough wrong with me to keep it from being that way. I don't want to displease him in any other areas that are easy to fix. Amen? Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. I sure pray that God, you'd be glorified and honored. That your word would be a blessing. Lord, I sure love you and praise you.